Well, guys, we're back again. It's been a long time since we talked to you. It's Marco as well as Jesse Edwards, and it's another edition of the Classic Album Face-Off, and here's how things work. We take two different album sides by the same artist, we stack them against each other, and then we score the tracks from 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest song ever, 1 being, should be the budget bin.
An F-side.
Yes.
All right. All right, so what do we got going on this week, Marco? I know last time we did Pink Floyd, but I think we're going a little bit more mainstream.
Yes, so we're also giving birth this time.
Oh, two twins, aren't
two
we?
Two twins, yes. Because we've decided to have some fun with Bruce Springsteen, two of his albums, Born to Run and Born in the USA.
Do you think the success of Born to Run influenced the title of his 1984 album? I mean, up to that point, his biggest success was Born to Run. And I think he was chasing after it and wasn't quite getting it again. And he said, you know what? Why bother reinventing the wheel? Let's just go ahead make another Bourne album.
He had success prior to that with Blinded by the Light, that song, which from the Greeting from the Asbury Park. Born to Run was his first mainstream success prior to Born in the USA, and we'll get to that.
And they're both great albums.
They are. This will be a great battle.
All right, Bruce versus Bruce. Let's just kick it off with Born to Run. We're doing side two of Born to Run, and it's going up against side one of Born in the USA. First track on side two, Born to Run, is the title track, Born to Run. Man, this song has so much energy, and I love Clarence. What's his last name?
Clemens.
Clarence Clemens on the saxophone. Yeah. Just kills it with his sax solo. And there's a lot of words in this song because he rattles them off so fast. If you looked at a lyric sheet, it's like 5 pages long.
When I'm in the car and I hear this song, this is a perfect driving song. Without a doubt.
Yeah, it is.
Put your windows down, turn it up, and just start singing.
And it's classic.
It's an anthem.
It's absolutely an anthem, but of course, you know, Bruce is kind of good at that. When he wants to do an anthem, he can crank one out, and just like every single one of his songs, he's a master storyteller.
He is. He's. I've always felt he was the East Coast storyteller as far as an artist, and we were lucky enough in the Midwest to have Bob Seger for the same kind
of thing. Yeah, but not just Bob Seger, also John Mellencamp.
John Mellencamp, sure.
I mean, obviously he came after Bob, but... You know, it's funny. Sometimes on the air, I'll purposefully mispronounce artists' names to see if I can irritate you listeners. So Bob is always, not always, but he's sometimes Robert Seger.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Let's just hope the boss doesn't hear any of this.
Or Bob either.
Well, Marco, I mean, it's Bruce at his finest. So this one gets a 5 from me.
I feel like this was the first hit for Bruce as well.
Well, wasn't it?
Yeah, technically. I mean, Blinded by the Light did get some airplay, but yet... This one, everybody got real familiar with him really quick.
Blinded by the Light, Manfred Mann really took that one to the sky's the limit.
Got some attention for it, and then Manfred Mann, ran with it.
You know what's great about writing a song, and even if yours isn't a hit, if another artist covers it and it's a hit, well, songwriting royalties.
That's right.
That check is fat.
Yep.
All right, number for you, Born to Run.
5.
All right, let's write this down so don't forget.
Yeah, this will be an interesting battle between both albums, so yeah. Numbers will be very important. What we decide to come up with.
Now, we're going to have to take an average of the totals because Born to Run side 2 has only got 4 tracks, and Born in the USA has a whopping 6, so it wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, good point. So on we go with Born to Run side 2 and the track She's the One. Whoa, she's the one. It's a classic album face-off, and there you are, track 2 from Born to Run, side 2, She's the One. Boy, it's a great song, Jess.
You know, it starts off like a really slow burn, and then you get the keyboardist...
Roy Bittan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just, I think you remarked while we were listening to it, had the mics off for a second. He's going to town on it.
He is going to town on it, too. And really, from what we've learned about it ourselves a little bit, too, I'm not so sure that was the intention from Bruce, because he apparently wanted... Clarence to play the sax solo, which he does at one point in the song.
Yeah, Bruce said that he wrote this song specifically.
Yeah.
So Clarence could play the sax solo, which is not a technical solo, but it just sounds great. It has all the right notes. And, you know, after the slow burn, when it gets going, it's freight train full speed ahead.
Yeah, good stuff. So I think I don't feel as excited about this one as I did for Born to Run. I'd probably give this one a 3, maybe.
I'm going a 3 as well, primarily just because I guess earlier on in the song, I can't understand what Bruce is saying. It's like he's singing with a mouthful of marbles. All right, so it's a 3. Next up for the Bruce Springsteen classic album Face Off on Born to Run, side 2, track 3, it's Meeting Across the River, a very different song than its two predecessors.
Got a meeting with a man on the other side.
Well, surprise, Marco, it's another story.
And he's starting to paint the picture for us quite well, too, because as we were listening to it, maybe you guys as well, you can almost, just the sound in the background kind of sets that, hey, it does kind of feel like we're out in the middle of nowhere near a river.
Specifically, you know, a river is free-flowing,
yep.
And this song definitely has elements of that. You'll notice there's no drums, so there's no driving beat, there's no, I don't know, it's very water-like, I guess you could say, and it does set the stage. It almost feels like a chilly New Jersey evening.
Yeah. And in this case, it's not a hit. It's not a Born to Run. It doesn't need to be because he's telling the story.
No, it doesn't have to be a hit. This thing, it's one of those deep cuts that you really appreciate that song.
If you listen to it, I think if you listen lyrically, and that's where he's headed with this album is, yeah, I can make some hits, but at the same time, hear me out this way.
Back when albums used to be albums, those days, I miss them. All right, so the story for Meeting Across the River, we've got, what, some kind of petty thief here?
Yeah.
Meeting a fence or some guy who's giving him a job?
That petty thief is Eddie.
Oh, okay, looking at my notes here, it is Eddie, and he's taken the job. The illicit job, because he sold his girlfriend's radio. Man, you know what? Only Bruce could make something like this up and put it into a song. It just seems like, what? He did what? He sold her radio?
And nowadays, we wouldn't care as much, I think. But back in the late 70s, when this thing came out, that meant something.
Yeah, you know, hey, you have to wonder, is it a little transistor AM radio?
Yeah, good point.
Or is it like one of those...
Boombox?
Yeah.
Too early for that, I think.
Yeah, may have been. This one really shines for me, and it's probably also one where on multiple listens, you would just like it more and more and more.
We're both thinking.
Yeah. I love the theme, not just lyrically, but the musical theme as well. I'm even surprising myself here. I'm going to give Meeting Across the River a solid 5. I like it that much.
I'll drop just a hair below it a 4. Because the next song, to me, is a 5 that we'll get to.
Oh, well, you're already voting for it. Okay. And the next song is...
Jungle Land. And there you go, a segment of Jungle Land from side 2 of Born to Run here with our Z94.3 classic album Face Off. As the late, great Clarence Clemons would go on to say, and I quote, all we could do was hold on, smoke a lot of pot, and try to stay calm.
Well, this is a roller coaster of a song.
Yeah.
It takes you everywhere. And I've heard this is one of a fan favorite, especially at live shows. Because, first of all, on the album, the sax solo itself is over 2 minutes long. And you know when they did it live, Bruce would just let Clarence off the leash and say, kill it.
Yeah, and the song itself is 9 minutes long, so that it probably became a 15-minute song.
Oh, yeah.
On stage.
Has to have been a fan favorite. If you've ever seen Bruce live, I mean, maybe you could stop by our Facebook page and just let us know, how long was the sax solo for Jungle Land? When you saw him.
Yeah.
Marco, you've seen him before.
Twice. I saw him for the Born in the USA tour. We'll get to that in a little while. And then the Tunnel of Love tour.
Do you remember him playing Jungle Land at all?
No, that was so long ago.
Or were you doing what Clemons was doing?
No, I just stood there and inhaled a bit. Because okay. It wasn't hard to avoid that back then.
All right, I got you. Okay, man, Jungle Land. We could spend an entire 20 minutes talking about this song right here. I mean, the story itself is like a novella. It's like a little book about the magic rat and the barefoot girl. Magic Rat's gang. I guess they were the Rangers getting in trouble with the Popo.
More of the romantic side of Bruce, if you will, that we experienced early on, too.
You know, this whole side, except for Meeting Across the River, is kind of bittersweet romantic stuff. And Jungle Land, It's the top of it. It's what it is. So much to unpack with this one. I guess we're just going to have to save ourselves some time here and get right to the numbers, Marco.
I'll go with a 5. You kind of heard that a moment ago, but I love this song.
You already did vote for it. You know, all right, this one gets a 5, too, just for the sheer cojones Bruce has to go ahead and write a 9-minute epic and not have it being meandering or losing its way. It's very tightly focused.
Well, and the fact of it probably got minimal airplay on radio as well, because back then, even some of these songs at length just...
Back then, if you had a 4-minute track, you were pretty much guaranteed not to get on the air. 9 minutes?
9 minutes is, a lot more difficult. But yeah, that was a little tricky back then.
5s from both of us. All right, Born in the USA, you've got a lot to live up to. Classic album Face Off happening right now, or whenever you decide to play it back for Z94.3. Marco in the Morning and myself, Jesse Edwards, we take 2 different album sides by the same artist. I may want to expand that in the future. Let's say we do a Genesis side, and then we'll also do a Phil Collins side.
I mean, that's a good idea.
It gives us more opportunity to get some good matchups. Anyway, we put the tracks up against each other and share our thoughts, score each from 1 to 5, 5 being the most amazing piece of music you ever heard. I'm being a little superfluous here. And 1 being something that you never should have listened to in the first place. At the end of this show, we're going to tally it all up and let you know what we think about these 2 album sides. Up next, we've got Born in the USA, Side 1. This had 6 tracks on it. How many singles came off this album, Marco?
Did I read 7?
7. It's ridiculous. Can you imagine? That's like Boston debut album standards.
Right.
I mean, I think they had 7 singles off their first album.
There were 3, I think, off this side, 1 that we're doing now even.
Okay, well, let's get right into it. Track 1, Born in the USA. I think you know the name. Wow, Marco, can Bruce sound any bigger than he does on this track right here?
Yeah, they did a great job producing this, and many of us, I remember hearing it and going, oh, yeah, we're proud to be Americans here.
Yeah.
Born in the USA, baby.
Well, that's this song has 2 meanings,
sure
I guess.
Sure does.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, the first one is you hear all about it in the verses about Vietnam veterans kind of being shunned upon, not treated well at home. And then you have a very sarcastic chorus that he delivers with complete sincerity. And, you know, it's so catchy, it's so hooky, that even Chrysler Corporation, they wanted to use Born in the USA in some commercials, and they were going to give Bruce millions of dollars for it. And what did Bruce say?
Nope.
He said, stuff it.
Nope, not happening.
But there is one thing about this track that bothers me, and it may not bother you, and it may not bother anyone else in this whole world. It's you've heard the joke about how punk rock songs can be just 3 chords repeated over and over again. Well, Born in the USA is 2 chords. It's the root note and the 5th. Well, you could also call it a perfect 4th.
Explain those, because I didn't understand them either until you explained it to me a little bit.
All right, so let's say E, the note E, you do that for 2 measures, and then you switch to B, which is the 5th of E. And you just repeat those 2 notes for 4.5 minutes. And the fact that Bruce was able to craft a song out of just those 2 notes, well, I guess it's a big testament to his ability and also the E Street Band to deliver a great performance for it.
See, and you being the musician that you are would catch that. Me, have no idea. Or our listeners in many cases. So, but I'm glad you presented this to us, because now you'll listen to it, maybe, guys, out there in a whole new way to some extent.
And in that case, everyone, I'm sorry that I've ruined Born in the USA for you. But I mean, it's true. You could be a musician and this could not bother you at all. Obviously, every single person that performed on this track is a musician, and it didn't seem to bother them.
No.
Max Weinberg, he said that this was his favorite ever song that he recorded with Bruce. So what do I know? I guess what's so funny about this song is, yes, it's Born in the USA. It reached 5 in the United Kingdom, which is amazing. I mean, can you imagine a song from like the Beatles reaching 5 in America where the title is Born in Lancashire? No, that's not going to fly.
No.
All right, Marco, lay a number down for me.
Oh, 5 on this one.
Okay. Just because of my quibbles, I'll give it a 4.
So let's move on to track 2 from side 1 of Born in the USA. It is time for Cover Me. All right, there you go. Cover Me from Bruce Springsteen. Again, this is the classic album Face Off with Jesse Edwards and myself, Marco, in the Morning. Born in the USA, side 1. We're moving through that now. A song that Bruce wrote for Donna Summer, which initially he planned on her using, but she didn't in the end. So his manager decided the song had hit potential and kept it. Got protection, I guess, so no one else could use it. I don't hear Donna singing this very well, because Donna was disco, so I don't know how that would have played out myself.
You know, listening to the tempo, though, you could put a disco beat on this one.
I don't hear a "She Works Hard for Her Money" or I don't hear a "Last Dance" element in this. So I don't know why. I guess I'm just trying to envision. And in my head, the voices are telling me no.
You know, I have to wonder, Donna Summer, go write your own music. Quit stealing Bruce's. You know, there's something about this song here, too, that as we were listening to it, that I heard just after it was the tempo, it was the chord changes, and it was right in the middle of the chorus, I guess, where it could have been a different song. In fact, I'll play you a clip right now. That's right, Bananarama, Venus.
Bruce, wow.
Did Bruce secretly want to be in Bananarama?
He may have, back then, had an interest in some of the ladies involved in Bananarama.
Well, I think we share that sentiment. All right, Cover Me. I think I would rather have had this be a disco song, so I'll give it a 3.
I'm going to do the same. I mean, I do like it. It was certainly a catchy one. And the second of 7 singles released from this album, which, again, is still phenomenal for back then, because nobody was doing that.
No one could do that.
No. But and I don't think he knew that either until we as an audience embraced it, and he became a bigger star than ever before.
Well, Bruce was also working on this album since even before his Nebraska album. I think a lot of these songs were in the works since even 1980, and he would just hold back the ones he thought would make a really nice story for Born in the USA here. And, hey, it worked. And Cover Me was released as a single before Born in the USA. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, don't you want to lead with your strongest stuff, or am I wrong here?
Well, I don't necessarily think it's up to him, because remember, you had a record company dictating a lot of that and saying, we're going to service this to radio next. We think it's catchy, even though Dancing in the Dark was catchier.
Mm. Okay.
But I'm just guessing, but that happens sometimes. An artist has a little less to say in to some extent. And then that may cause an issue later on, because if a record doesn't do well, they'll go back to the label and say, you know, you guys really didn't push this record as much as you should have.
Fair point. Moving on. Track 3. It's Darlington County on Born in the USA Side 1. Darlington County. Well, Marco, I think it's more like Darlington Country. This is a very country western song.
You know, we were listening to the hook of it just a little bit ago, and I said to you that maybe it's his little experiment into country, or better yet, maybe it was, when you hear the song, you're kind of like, hey, it's a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire singing.
Yes.
Drunk, too, maybe.
Well, you kind of have to be. You know, someone brings the acoustic guitar, but what is required here is a cowbell.
And maybe a bottle of moonshine.
Yeah, pass that around. All right, so Darlington County, actually in South Carolina, and what's it all about? Well, it's the guy, whatever protagonist we're talking about here, driving around with his buddy, picking up girls.
Uh-huh.
That's an original idea. But what's cool about this, and you hear it in the song, similar to Rolling Stones, Honky Tonk Women.
Yeah, you can tell the beginning of it.
Yeah, obviously Bruce knows it too, because when he does it live, he plays some of Honky Tonk Women before he launches into Darlington County. Well, a bit of an experimental country western song for Bruce Springsteen here. Not my favorite. I'm not going to go lower than a 3, though.
I'll do the same. I agree. I remember listening to it very well back in the day. It seems like everybody in the dorm where I was at college was listening to it. Everybody had it. They had posters in their room of Bruce and, you know, it's the backside of the Born in the USA image.
The backside of the backside?
Yeah, you got it, pretty much, yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess that's a lot like my wife was saying when she was in, I think, high school. Every single party she went to was Eric Clapton's Slow Hand.
Wow.
You couldn't find a party that wasn't playing a different album. But that's a good problem to have if you're a successful musician.
So again, this is Z94.3's classic album Face Off. I'm Marco from Marco in the Morning, as well as Jesse Edwards from our midday show. So the deal here is we take 2 different album sides by the same artist. We stack them up against each other. We score the tracks from 1 to 5, 5 being the greatest song ever, 1, yuck.
1 could have been a 0.
Yeah.
All right.
And at the end, then, we're going to tally it all up and let you know what we think about these album sides. So we're 3 songs into Born in the USA, side 1.
Working on number 4, what is it?
That would be Working on the Highway, Jess.
Oh, thank you, Marco.
There you are, Working on the Highway, track 4, Born in the USA, side 1, as we continue the classic album Face Off. Jess, your thoughts on that one?
This song had the distinction of not being one of the 7 singles on this album. You know, that's too bad. But there's a little charm to it, isn't it?
We discussed this a second ago. To me, it kind of has that rockabilly sound.
It does.
Stray Cats. In other words, for those who don't understand that term a little bit.
And you can really tell because the bass doesn't kick in for probably a good minute. So it's feeling very bottom empty for a while. But then when the bass kicks in, you're like, oh, this is total honky-tonk rockabilly. You know, let's just have a good time. And obviously a lot of other people felt the same way because even though it wasn't a hit on the radio, boy, it's a hit in concert.
Speaking of which, Jess, I was actually really lucky to see this tour because it actually came to the Hoosier Dome back then down in Indy when I was in college. So we, three of us, hopped in a car, bought tickets, and went.
How much were the tickets? Do you remember?
No, but I will say I read an article about the show because Bruce was adamant that everybody that was there was able to see the performance. So when we got our tickets and we got to the arena, there were like columns in front of us. Like,
really?
Yeah, because the way it was set up, it was a football stadium for the Colts back then. So I remember reading, it was a Rolling Stone article or something where it said that if you are obstructed, that he was setting aside other seats for that so that would not happen to those who saw the show. So I summoned an usher and said, hey, I know that he's doing this and can you help us out here? So we were up above, like on the side of the stage with these columns facing us. So he walked us down to the floor and about maybe halfway back on the floor.
No kidding.
So it's still far away, but yet, you know, all of a sudden you get upgraded. And sure enough, there we were.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yep.
You're a good guy.
And the other thing that I'll always remember at that show was it was in the summer. And he came, I believe it was during one of his encores that he came out. And he said, hey, we're not going to see you guys this time of the year, so let's do this one. So he did Santa Claus is Coming to Town in July. And I'll never forget that because that's the only time I've ever seen him of the two shows that I saw.
Christmas in July.
But it was cool, you know, because you got to hear that song, as huge as it was, in a period of his career that was, you know,
humongous.
I'm sure he wasn't doing it every night because his set list changes every night.
Really?
Quite frequently, yeah. Or at least certain elements of it do. So odds are, wherever he was the next night, he may not have done that.
Interesting. You know, because I know a lot of bands, when they go on tour, they have the set list, and that's the show
that's
they
it.
Play
yep.
every night.
Yeah, he changes things frequently.
Uh-huh.
And I will say, and anybody that's ever seen him, it's a marathon of a show. He'll do maybe an hour and a half of songs and take a break. And it seems to me he did maybe like 10 songs in his encore when I saw him. And it was like
a 10-song encore?
It was tremendous. I mean, it was really a sight to see back then. Still is. It's worth the money. And his tickets are not generally outrageous. It's like general admission on the floor in some cases still. And he charges maybe $100, a little bit over that. But it is money well spent to see him.
Money well spent for a good concert by Bruce. You were telling me, I want to say a month or two ago, about some astronomical ticket prices for Bon Jovi. Motley Crue, you said, were like $3,000?
Oh, more than that. Well, this is the deal with the stadium tour, the current one that's out now or they're about to begin. But that's also VIP, and you get to meet them and so on. But those are like $4,200 a piece.
That's ridiculous.
It's insane, yeah.
I think I'd rather go see 20 Bruce Springsteen shows, and it probably still would come in under that ridiculous price tag.
Yeah.
All right, cool story, but I think this song is dippy, so it's a toot.
Yeah, I'm not going to go any higher than that either. Didn't do much for me.
Moving on to the Downbound Train.
Don't you feel like you're riding on a downbound train?
I like this song right from the very first second. That guitar line is killer. It's really cool. And the rest of the song, I think, is really well done. I can actually understand Bruce. He doesn't have some crazy slapback echo reverb on his voice. I can hear what he's trying to say. And surprise, surprise, it's another good story.
With a country feel to this one, much like a couple we've heard already. And I'm already going to take a stab at this because we're going to bring this up again with the next song momentarily. But I can hear the way he registers his voice, there's almost a Johnny Cash sound to it.
It does kind of sound like it now. For the next song.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
That's why I wanted to bring that up just briefly as we segue in soon to this.
I think that for Downbound Train, Bruce's register is a little bit high for Johnny Cash, but that's not the case with the next song. Downbound Train, I'm giving this one a solid 4. How about you, Marco?
Yeah. 4. I think that's fair. I don't think a 3 is fair for this one.
Cool. We're wrapping it up with the last track on side one of Born in the USA. Marco, what's this one called?
We're going to set this place on fire. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
So literally, I'm on fire.
I can take you high.
There you are, the fourth single from Born in the USA, I'm on fire, which for what, 2.5 minutes or so that it is, a lot is accomplished.
Oh, yeah. And this song, it's very different than a lot of the other stuff we've heard on this album side, but also the album side for Born to Run. This song is its own thing. And it really just goes to show you, Bruce is a versatile a songwriter, a versatile musician, and of course he's got an amazing band backing him up as the E Street Band. I like this song a lot, and just yesterday when I was doing some research for this, I got to watch the music video, and I thought, ooh, that's lascivious. You can look that up if you want.
And really, when you listen to it as well, you'll notice, as Jess just said, the musicians are fantastic, and there's not a lot of words to the song.
No.
If you really listen to it, and with everything else that's played, and then the lyrics periodically come in, it's not necessary.
This is one of the cases where less is more.
Absolutely.
And something you mentioned to me when we were listening to this before we started the show was, gosh, it sounds like Johnny Cash could have done this one. And I said, I'm going to look that up. Sure enough.
I can take you higher. I'm on fire.
A different arrangement, but it's still a great song. And very much like Johnny Cash, I wonder if Bruce had Johnny in mind when he penned this one.
And Johnny covered that then. What was year 2000? He covered it.
Yeah, it was 2000.
So odds are, I'm sure Bruce is pretty excited about that as well.
I would be. I'm on fire, Marco. Last track for this classic album, Face Off. What you giving it?
Five.
Well, he finished strong with Born in the USA, but I'm just looking at the numbers here, and I think Born to Run's going to take it. Let me find out. All right, Marco, give me a drum roll.
All right, here you go. Ready?
Here we go. The numbers are in, everybody. The clear and decisive winner for this episode's classic album Face Off featuring Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run Side 2 and Born in the USA Side 1 are twin albums here. Born to Run is the winner, and this one's not even close. Born to Run came away with a 4.4 average, and Born of the USA had 3.6, and I think the latter album there was hampered by, you know, just those weaker tracks that didn't need to be on the album, really, but still. I have to ask you, out of all the songs we've just gone over, what's your favorite?
I think Born to Run, for me, is my favorite of those, of all of them.
So you're going for the very first song.
Yep.
I'm going for the very last one. I'm on fire. Imagine that. That's it, everybody. I had a lot of fun making this one, and I know Marco did, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, these are great. And we'll come back at you with another classic album, Face Off. Till then, I'm Jesse Edwards. He's
Marco in the Morning, and we'll be back again real soon with another classic album, Face Off, with Z94.3.